my friends, and welcome to You Rising, where we explore and discover what it means to be and become who we are born to be. I'm your host, Lorianne Rising. I'm an international award-winning author and a spiritual and intuitive mentor. And today is Friendship Friday. And I am aware I have not done one of these in a few weeks. So I want to catch you up on a little bit of what my journey has been like, because there are those times in life where just everything changes all at once. And it can be just one decision. One simple decision can literally change absolutely everything. And it's not always smooth. In fact, most of the time it's not. And of course, with the Mercury retrograde going on, that has added a lot of fun to the adventure. And fun would be in quotes, by the way. So I know last time I did one of these, I was letting you know that I was going to a women's retreat and would probably not be available that week. And then maybe not the week after, depending on how things played out. Well, I did go to the women's retreat. That was May 20th, 21st, 22nd, you know, that weekend. Had an amazing time with the women there. And the woman who was leading the retreat happens to be a friend of mine, and we got to talking, and she was aware that my relationship of 6.5 years was not going well. And really, it was time for me to leave. And I've known this for a while. The trick has been, though, figuring out how to get out and find a place to go and be. My income has been very much connected to him. And so there's some challenges around separating and moving forward. So I haven't had as much freedom as I wanted to have. And the leader, my friend, was very aware of the circumstances. So she said, "Hey, you know, I've been wanting you to come work with me for years." I've been wanting to work with her for years. And she said, "You know what? If I can find you a place here in Utah and Salt Lake City, would you move? And, you know, we can just make this happen. I can find you a place. I know I can. I know people. Would you do it?" And I was like, "Absolutely. I would totally do that." So she agreed to do that. She agreed that there would be a little part-time job to help get things going, and all of those kinds of things would be available. Okay, fine. So I went back. And the process of letting my partner know that I had made this decision was really, really hard. Let's just say that. And his reaction to things was above and beyond what I expected it to be. It was very difficult, very nasty, and all of the worst parts of him came out. On this trip, when I, you know, so part of the trip we drove, he and I drove together to a point in Eastern Oregon where his family has some property and he has some stuff stored there. So that was about the halfway point from the coast where we've been living to the retreat in Utah where I was headed. And so the second half of the journey from Eastern Oregon to the retreat itself, I was driving alone. And then, of course, the reverse was the same. Drive alone the first leg back to Eastern Oregon and then together from there. So during the part of the trip that I was driving alone, I had, you know, before this, I had begun to suspect, begun to become aware of certain patterns in his behavior that I thought were fairly narcissistic, but I really didn't have the language for that or really a deep understanding of what that meant. There were some things going on that were just very questionable. And so I listened to an audio program. It's called Empath versus Narcissist. It's by Lee Harris. I don't get any kind of affiliate or referral for recommending it. but I do highly recommend it for all of us, whether you think you're in that kind of relationship or might have been in the past or not. It's worth listening to understand what some of the red flags are and how some of it plays out, because it is so easy for anybody in any situation and any background to get sucked in. So listening to this program, it became very, very obvious to me that I had gotten sucked in. And those patterns were very narcissistic and they were very much eating away at me, and I needed to get out. So I was aware of that going into the retreat, got the offer to move, listened to the remainder of the program on the way back to Eastern Oregon, just to further prepare myself, because it does go into, you know, when you decide to leave, what this could look like, because then all the stops are pulled out. And that is what happened. So I was grateful I had that foundational awareness to move through that process, because between the time that I let him know I'd made the decision to leave and would be moving, there was about a week and a half or 2 weeks where I was still there, and, you know, waiting kind of for word of like, okay, you know, your spot to land is ready now, and other things were getting into place. And, you know, but we were still under the same roof, sharing space and trying to communicate with each other. And that, I mean, just all the stops, it was, I've never seen him so nasty in all the 6.5 years I've known him, to be quite frank and honest. So that's part of the reason I wasn't doing the podcast for a little while. I was literally just in survival mode. He did wind up taking, there was a job he already had on the calendar for a few days back in town. So he wound up leaving and I got packed up and left while he was out of town. And that was agreed upon ahead of time. He knew I would not be there when he got back. So that wasn't a surprise or anything. But the trip actually getting here, so I put a bunch of my stuff in one of those like pod type storage things so I can have it shipped here when I'm ready. The rest of it was in the car with me. So the car is loaded down and I'm driving. You know, I intended to get about halfway here, and then I had an Airbnb set up, and I was, you know, I had an aunt in the area I was going to visit for a little bit and spend a few days at the Airbnb, kind of at the halfway point. Well, that didn't quite work out. So I didn't even get to my halfway point. I got about 3/4 of the way there and the car broke down. And it wasn't just like a little thing. It's not like it just overheated. The timing chain went, and of, you know, that's an internal piece, so it's not easy to get to. And so it basically destroyed the engine. So the car was just done. It was at the end of its life and done. So now I'm stuck in a little town in Eastern Oregon, had to get a tow truck, get back to the main town because I had just passed through one. I had to find a motel and then had to figure out, okay, now what? And it was a Saturday when I was driving through. So I actually had to wait until Monday to hear about, you know, what was really going on with the car. And I was like, well, if you really want it repaired, it's going to be $4,500 minimum, because we haven't really opened it all up. So it could be more, but we're pretty certain it's going to be at least that based on, you know, past experience, and a minimum of 2 to 3 weeks before we can even get started on the repairs. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. We're not doing this. The car is not worth that. It's okay. So then it's like, okay, shift gears. Now I'm in a small town where I didn't think I knew anybody. Come to find out, I was actually posting on Facebook just to my friends, and come to find out there was somebody in town that I knew. I hadn't seen her since eighth grade. We hadn't seen each other, and she was 20, 30 minutes up the road. So she came down one of those days and we got together for a drink and a snack. And it was just, you know, it's one of those conversations when you haven't seen somebody in that long, right? You know, it's going to go one of two directions. you're either going to pick right back up where you left off and realize, you know, you just, it's been a wonderful thing, or it's going to be that awkward, like, I don't really remember why we were friends, but thanks for being here. Right. Well, she and I just picked right back up, and it was so cool. And it was just wonderful. And the conversation we had, it really felt like I needed to be there. And she commented about that too. It's like, no, I think you were meant to be here. I was like, okay, good. I'm glad that piece was part of this process and it really worked out. So if I had to break down, it was a good spot to be there for her, be there for all the things that we talked about and that were going on. So that was really positive. And then it was time to problem solve. So what wound up happening after looking at all of my options, I wound up renting a U-Haul truck, going over, emptying my car out into the truck. And I did sign over the title to the mechanics so they can dispose of the vehicle for me, because that's a headache I didn't want, and drove the rest of the way to Utah. So now I am in Salt Lake in Utah, no vehicle, landed at a place where I've met the person who owns the house once before. It actually happened to be at the women's retreat. But okay, so here's this person I, you know, handshake relationship with, and now I'm moving in. And he has been very, very gracious, wonderful, amazing human being. And I am very blessed to be having the chance to get to know him. So that has been very fortunate. So I landed here. I left the coast in Oregon on a Saturday. I finally landed here Thursday afternoon. So it was about 5 days, right? So Friday, I get together with my friend and go, okay, you know, we had talked about the job being here. Let's, you know, work out the details, you know, and come to find out, well, there's plenty to volunteer for, but there's really not a job. I'm like, oh, okay. So the circumstances have changed. And I'm like, well, it's totally okay. I'm creating this amazing coaching business. And, you know, I just launched it 6 months or so ago in this particular form. Life coaching and mentorship for women is something I've been doing for 15 years. I've had to take breaks at different times for different reasons, for life circumstances. But you know, that beginning place, it always takes a little while to get the momentum going. So that's the space I'm in, to be totally honest, vulnerable, and upfront. That's the space I am in. And I'm enjoying it. It's wonderful. I'm seeing the pieces come together, but also aware that launching a business, you need to give it a little bit of time to get that momentum to be sustainable. So that was, you know, the job was going to be there to allow that space and allow the foundation of my life to, you know, keep me going while I continue building this. And now that's not there. So now I've moved across two states and I'm like, okay, so problem solving, right? It's interesting because being here, I'm in a space where, you know, on one hand, it's this amazing, wonderful opportunity to reinvent myself. This is the first time in my life since I was about 19 or 20 years old, there's been no partner and no kids to, you know, think about. And as if you're a mom, you know what that's like. You know, I've had times, you know, since then where there was no partner, but I still had my kids being a single mom, right? So now I'm in this space where I'm like, okay, well, my daughter turned 18 while at the women's retreat. And while I haven't seen my kids in about 6 years or so, that had an emotional impact on me, just the mental awareness and the energy shift around, you know, both of my kids are legal adults now. They're not on my mind, you know, kind of thing. I mean, they are, I still love them, but that there's a shift in there somewhere that I didn't actually expect, but I definitely felt. So here I am in a whole new environment, in a whole new space, with this wonderful opportunity to go, okay, cool, who do I choose to be without the other stuff, you know? And it doesn't look like I thought it would. And yet, I've been here about a week now, and there are some things emerging out of this space as I sit with it and I allow all of the emotions to move through, as I allow myself to just be and feel everything, you know, the release of leaving the relationship, the release of the stress of just the physically moving here and all the unexpected stuff, the release of what was, and allowing myself to incorporate what is now my reality and the new information I'm getting about the things that I thought were going to happen that aren't, as well as learning what is here and really paying attention to my intuition. It is a very interesting ability, and it's one we often have to practice. There are these times in our lives where we find ourselves dropped into a space where all I can think, all I want is like, well, I need answers. I want to know what's going to happen. I want to know what I'm doing. I want to know, you know, which is the right step. I want the definitive concrete steps, right? And yet I'm also aware that this is a space where I'm supposed to just be sitting and being and allowing and receiving. That's it. That's where I'm supposed to be right now. And I'm working on getting comfortable with that and allowing that to be. And my roommate is so incredibly gracious. He's actually suggested that's what I need to be doing. He's very aware, very conscious of that. So I'm grateful that he has that perspective. I do have a financial foundation enough to allow me the space to do that for at least 2, maybe 3 months. And there are some amazing things that are cropping up as well out of these conversations, these possibilities that may wind up being even better than I imagined possible, even better than what I actually came here for. But I needed to be here for these possibilities to begin to emerge. They would not have come to fruition or even be on the table as a possibility if I wasn't physically here. So I had to take that risk to be physically here. I had to follow my intuition. So the one thing I have been very, very clear about, despite everything that could go wrong, actually has gone wrong since I made the decision to move, right? Everything has been backwards or upside down or just off the rails. And yet there is this piece of me that absolutely knows, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was the right decision. This is where I'm supposed to be, and I know that. So I followed that. I took the risk. I knew there would be risk. And unfortunately, those risks are real, but I know I'm supposed to be here. And allowing myself to be able to sit in this space of beingness is really, I'm finding it to be very, very precious and very, very healing. And, you know, it's like allowing the seeds of possibility to germinate under the soil. I know they are sprouting. I can't see them yet, but I know they are sprouting because I'm watering them a little bit every day. I'm keeping myself in a space of possibility. I'm staying open. The outpouring of support I have received in so many different ways from so many different people has been astounding to me. And that's something that, I mean, I've always had friends there for me, but I have not experienced this level of support, which for me affirms that, yes, I made the right decision. And my G team, my guides, my angels, they've got my back. So it's going to be okay. So what I want to say in all of this is, one, I am on as much of a very human journey as anybody else who might be listening. And the intuition, developing the ability to say, okay, I know there's risks and this just feels right and I'm going to do it and just show up and work it out. I have at least enough confidence in myself to know that I can work this out. It's going to be okay. And to experience these possibilities. You know, that's the kind of life I want each and every person I speak to or interact with. I want all of you to have that self-confidence, that self-esteem, to say yes when it feels right, and to be able to distinguish that feeling from all of the other stuff that we feel day in and day out. Because isn't that the trick? Because sometimes, I know I've done this anyway. I don't know about you, but I know me. And I know I have like, okay, well, this sounds really good. And I talk myself into it. But I look back and go, no, I hyped myself up around that because I decided I wanted it. But there were inklings, there were other things that I was ignoring that were the more intuitive side of me going, hold on, check, not maybe, you know, this isn't quite right. But I hyped myself up to a point where I convinced myself it was the right thing to do. And I've done that, made that mistake. And it's so easy to do at the beginning when we can't tell the difference between our emotions and our intuition. And the way that I have resolved that has been to simply practice feeling all of my feelings, feeling them in my body, feeling them in every way you can feel an emotion, right? Whether it's in your head, in your body, through the tears on your skin, on your face, you know, writing it out in my journals, all of those things. And then knowing how the emotions feel, you can distinguish them. It's like, oh, okay, this is how the emotion feels. The intuition feels different. It lands in a different place in our body. It has a different energy. It has a different quality and a different feel to it. But the only way we can understand and really get at a deep level that difference is to allow ourselves to feel all of it at both ends of the spectrum and all the way through the spectrum. So practicing feeling our feelings is absolutely critical. And unfortunately, our society doesn't really allow that to happen very much. We disconnect. We're supposed to stay calm. We're called hysterical if we exude emotion. We're called all kinds of things. We're supposed to be the peacekeepers. What's wrong with us? We're supposed to take care of everybody else. We can't have meltdowns. We need to be everybody else's rock. You know, all of those things, right? And more, I'm sure. But we've got to learn to feel. And that's really why I created the meditation that I did. It's on my website. It helps you understand what you're feeling. And then underneath it, there is always an intuitive message, always a message that those emotions are trying to share with us. It's not, sometimes it is just a release. And that is the message. It's like, you know what, just feel it, let it go, let it move through. It's totally okay. But sometimes there's something more under it. And quite often there's something more under it. So I encourage you, if you haven't already, download that meditation. And if that doesn't work for you, find another method that does, whether it's journaling, whether it's meditating and just allowing yourself to practice that, whatever it is, do that for yourself and learn to feel. and you're going to be able to distinguish what is the true intuitive hit versus what is the emotionality. And there are times where it can still be difficult to tease it apart, especially if there's fear involved or stress involved or any of those things. And that's where mentorship, coaching, or even a dear friend can really, really help. It's like, okay, let's just talk through this, talk it out, and get a different perspective. And that's, I have my own coach. I have been chatting with her through this as well. So it's not something I just preach. It's something I am personally practicing as I move through this journey. I am also finding what's interesting is being here, I've decided to start getting back into yoga and some other movement practices. And the first day I did those, it just made me cry. And I realized just how much pent-up emotion is physically in my body. So this 3+ weeks of intense stress and change, clearly there's some things that are still moving through me, and it's totally okay. So I'm going to keep up the yoga practice and keep up the movement and keep sitting with the feeling so that I am practicing what I preach and experiencing the results that I know all of us can experience, because this is the journey. And this is really why I'm doing this podcast, to share the actual day-to-day, real life craziness of being fully human. Because the spiritual journey is not like, oh, I had an epiphany, I had an awakening, and that's it. This is wonderful. You know, everything is going to be roses from here on out, and it's all wonderful. You know, that's not how it works. It's just not. There's still life. There's still messes. There's still, you know, sometimes mistakes. Sometimes we wind up going on a journey that on one hand can look like a mistake. On the other hand, maybe we needed those lessons to get us to the next phase, you know? And I really feel like while my relationship ended in a way that I didn't expect, I had hoped it would end otherwise, I really feel like it was still a relationship that needed to happen. It taught me so much about me. It taught me how to really stay centered and how to really sort of build the strength within myself to stand my ground, to stand in my truth. He was somebody who has a very big, powerful, amazing energy. And very early in our relationship was when my kids wound up leaving. So I wound up in a very emotional, it felt like I disintegrated. So in this relationship, during this relationship, was a process of me rebuilding my self-identity and really trying to make some decisions. And I knew, I'm like, I can't wrap it around another person again, because I had wrapped my entire identity around being mom. And then my kids at 12 and 15 at the time left, they divorced me. And I've done several interviews about that. Some of them are on my website. You're welcome to check that out if you want to hear more about the story itself or what that journey was like. But it really, I had to recreate my identity literally from the ground up. And I was in a relationship at the time. And so I had to create a space where I was making sure that I was being who I chose to be, whether the relationship lasted or not. And as I moved through the grief and began to rebuild and began to discover the ways that I want to self-express, it's actually what brought me back to doing this mentoring, to doing this podcast, to doing the things that I'm doing now, was this process of rebuilding, who am I? How do I want to express myself? Who do I choose to be in the world? But doing that shifted the relationship, because he really wants somebody who would be more the traditional wife or the traditional partner, where they're not really doing their own thing, they're really supporting their husband or their partner or whatever that looks like, which he has every right to want. If that's what he wants, he has every right to want it. And when he and I first got together, I thought that's what I wanted. And over this whole process of really digging deeper into who I am and what's really true for me, discovering that no, I don't want that kind of relationship. So over the past couple of years, it's been a process of, can this relationship evolve into something that both of us can really fully self-express? And as I have distinguished myself and begun to express more of myself, that's when these other characteristics began to surface and we began to have problems and the narcissistic coping mechanisms began to really come out and over time get more and more intense and less healthy till it was just a complete breakdown. And what I recognize about him is that he is an amazing human being. He has many, many gifts. And there are many times during our relationship that have been wonderful. But those narcissistic characteristics are coping mechanisms to get somebody back in line, essentially, to pull that person back into who who he wanted me to be. And I was refusing to do that. So they got more intense. And we all have coping mechanisms. We all have times in our life where we are a bit narcissistic. We all have baggage from past pain, past trauma, past hurt. So it became a decision of, okay, I can recognize him as a human being who's triggered, who's in pain, and these are coping mechanisms. And I can still see his heart and his potential, but it doesn't mean I have to stay here and tolerate this because it's not working and it's not a behavior that's shifting. It's not a behavior that's getting any better. It's actually getting worse. So it's time for me to draw some boundaries and move forward. And I still have compassion for him. I still have love for him. He's been a very significant part of my life for 6.5 years. But it was time for me to move on. So I am so, so grateful for how it has all played out. He has given me amazing gifts. He has, in some ways, that big, strong personality and those coping mechanisms. And the fact that I was going through a process of self-identifying and reconstructing who I am in the world is a lot like lifting weights. You know, the only way you get strong is from the resistance of the weight, right? Well, he acted as that resistance so that I could gain the strength I needed to stay centered in spite of everything else going on. And that's a gift. It has been a powerful gift for me, and I am so grateful for that. And like I said, boundaries. If you are in a relationship that is difficult, that is not working, that is eating away at your self-esteem or your self-confidence, or is in some way trying to pigeonhole you, or is in any way at all, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, or physically doing damage, please reach out, get help. You know, depending on the situation, maybe it means getting counseling. Maybe the relationship can evolve. If you've gone through all of that, though, get help. There are shelters. There are friends. Maybe you haven't spoken to them in years, but I know they are still there for you. They want to hear from you. They will help you if they understand what's going on. There's help. Your guides, your angels, they're there to help you. So if you're feeling that piece of, I've got to get out, this isn't working, act on it. It's okay. You will land, and you are an amazing human being who has the ability to problem solve. So wherever you land, whether it's ideal or messy or somewhere in between, you will have the ability to problem solve because you are intelligent, you are amazing, and you are guided and loved at a level that you cannot imagine from your angels and your guides, as well as the people in your life, family, friends, and even strangers who will reach out to you in ways you could not imagine. You're not alone. So please take really good care of yourself. And if you're somebody who, you know, your relationship is pretty okay and, you know, not in that situation, but you're still wanting to learn to feel, to learn to tap deeper into your intuition. Again, that there's that meditation I created on my website. You're welcome to download it completely and totally free. It does put you on my newsletter list. And as I get back into the swing of things, now that I'm on the other side, I am going to be sharing, you know, special opportunities that only those on my newsletter list will have access to. So being on that list is of incredible benefit, and you are always welcome to email me, share your feedback. There's often invitations for that and other opportunities. I want to interact with you. So definitely just hit reply sometime. Let me know how you're doing and, you know, check things out. My website is laurieannrising.com. I would love to connect with you. Check out the resources there if you would like a mentoring conversation. They are available. If you would like a personal reading, those are available. And you don't have to be on the show to access those. We can do private sessions as well. So reach out. Take really good care of yourself. And as always, my friend, keep rising.